This is Ricey. You've been hearing my friend Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, for years on the radio and Garage Logic podcast. With the new year approaching, I strongly recommend you sit down with Josh for your no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation on your investments, including your IRA and 401k. You can benefit from Josh's years of experience navigating different market and economic conditions, and he'll always give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Give Josh a call now at 952-925-5608 to book your no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation. That's 952-925-5608. You'll be glad that you did, and tell him Ricey sent you. Don't forget to ask, why is it 48 minutes, Josh?
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Ricey is a paid endorser.
Is Purdue going to win?
No, I think UConn will beat them. Although this Zach Eddy gets treated very kindly by the officials for a 7'4" guy. If you lean on him, they call the foul on you. I mean, that the game, the Purdue game in the Sweet 16, that they had the big tangle that started the game. That was the only foul he got the whole night.
Was that against Tennessee, right?
When they beat Tennessee? Maybe Tennessee. I think he only had one foul that game. Or maybe it was the game before that. So they take good care of him, but this kid from UConn, who's 7'2", if they let him play on equal terms, UConn wins. UConn is really good, and they go tonight 8-9 deep, and they got a bunch of they got a all new team from last year. Basically,
I have a question about that. I was listening to a national show this morning. They were talking about, will Kentucky find a way to get Hurley? I'm thinking, why would he leave UConn to take the Kentucky job?
Yeah, he's an Eastern guy. You know, he comes from there. His old man was a famous coach in New York City, right? And his brother was, you know, they were all from up there in New England. UConn will give him all the money he needs.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Well, if he wins another title, he's going to coach there for 30 more years.
Well, he's not that old, but yeah, I mean, he's old enough that he probably, you know, 10 more years if he wants to. But they must be doing okay in the fundraising area, because the NIL, they keep getting these highfalutin.
And they don't need anything for football, so
but
yeah,
I
for sure.
really think that he's a good coach, man. Yeah. He runs some really good stuff, and they know what they're doing. I think they're a better club. And you know that it's a very interesting tournament, Joe. Everybody has transfers. I knew that the North Carolina State's top six were all transfers. Mm-hmm. All 13 of them are. Not all this year, but at some point, they were all transfers. It's a completely different animal.
Back to the women for a minute.
Yes.
I've grown fascinated watching the women's coaches.
Yes.
Because a lot of them are odd.
Yeah.
Now, remember the Newhart show? Wasn't his secretary Marcia something?
Yes.
Well, South Carolina, no. Iowa has her as an assistant. Her assistant looks like just like that person.
Okay.
And then this Dawn Staley.
Oh yeah, she's a beauty.
What's she going to do when a Zach Eady shows up and plays for the other team? She's one of these, I think if you identify as a woman, you should be able to play on the team. Let's see her face, Zach Eady.
I was very surprised that she said that. I think she just probably didn't want to take on that element. You know, I would have said no comment if I was her.
She has a savvy group of girls.
And lots of them.
Yes.
That was the difference in that game, was she played nine, and Iowa's got about four that can actually play. And then they got some, I'm going to say it, they got some chubby white girls on the bench who come in there and play 5 minutes. But she's got a 6'7" girl who just can play volleyball under the basket. And even though Caitlin Clark was as good as it's possible to be in the first quarter, mm-hmm. and they jumped out to that lead, you knew they couldn't win that game.
They got in her face something fierce.
Oh, yeah. They got a lot of them to do it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, when we had the Final Four here 2 years ago when South Carolina won it, and UConn was still the symbol of college basketball, and Paige was a freshman and a National Player of the Year, and Dawn came out. Remember that outfit she was wearing? It was like this completely different thing than mm-hmm. you've ever seen a coach wear, and with an edge to it. She had an edge to it. She had a guard named, 5 foot guard named Henderson, Brittany or something. She ate Paige's lunch, was fierce, and that whole team was just fierce. And they just beat UConn as bad as they wanted to. And that, you know, since then, I think they only lost one game that year. They lost one game last year. They won them all this year. They've had to win like 100 out of the last 102 or something like that.
I think a big sea change has occurred. I think that Paige Buecher and Caitlin Clark have revolutionized the game. They've brought more people to it.
Yes.
And from here on out, people will be paying attention to women's college basketball, because from here on out, there will be other Caitlin Clarks and other Paige Buechers, as these girls in grade school and high school look at this and devote even more time to becoming superstars.
I think your average crowds will improve.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have this phenomenon again where people are paying $2,000.
Because she was the first time.
She was. She was.
But there'll be others that are as good as her.
It was for, oh, yes, heavens, yes, there are now.
Yeah.
Juju Watson at Southern Cal is fantastic. But it's Fernando Mania. It's unbelievable. You know, to tell the story again, I went down to see her in 2022.
Well, you damn near invented her.
Yeah. But there was a half a house in Iowa then. So there's 8,000 maybe. They announced 9, but there's, you know, half. They got a big arena, and it was half full. And they were saying, look at all the people here.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and 2 years later, they're paying whatever it takes to get in to watch her play all over the country. When she played here in the Big Ten tournament, the Star Tribune had some of their biggest days for hits on the website, just people wanted to see what was being said about Caitlin being here.
It was just 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and it was constantly in the news.
Yeah, I mean, that she was here.
Okay, she's revolutionary.
She is revolutionary. Beckers might have been, but Beckers was never like 30 a game type of scorer.
Right.
She blew out her knee twice too. So
Whitlock had a great tweet about Clark. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. What she should do, come back for another year because she's got one more year of eligibility, make $20 million at NIL, and then give the middle finger to the WNBA and retire. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, but she loves to play.
She does. Yep, you're right. She does.
She loves it. She's.
Well, who has the draft choice to get her?
The Indiana Fever.
Jeez.
And somebody.
They're already marketing her, by the way.
one of our editors made our guy who covers women's basketball, covers the Lynx, call up Cheryl and ask her if she thought they could make a trade for Caitlin.
Oh, my God.
And Cheryl said, you're going to really want me to answer that question?
Mm-hmm.
He said, there is no offer that could be made that Indiana is not going to draft Caitlin Clark.
They wouldn't take the Timberwolves exchange for the rights to Caitlin Clark.
They wouldn't take A-Rod stock for that, for Caitlin Clark. And Cheryl said, don't be ridiculous. You know, so good for her.
But, do you really want me to answer that?
But she's, she is. I was trying to think Fernando Mania, stuff like that. But this is for the entire sport. So it's the fact of the matter is she's respect. It's as an athlete, It's not Natalie Gulbis or somebody like that who's a great because Laura Baugh or somebody like that just because they're gorgeous. She's
who's
just
the golfer
athlete.
That everybody likes?
Paige Spiranek.
Yeah, she's not much of a
golfer. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, well, Paige, doesn't she even get in a tournament?
I don't give a damn.
You know, I don't care to admit. I'm going to admit this. What do I care? I've never watched women's college basketball before this year.
Yes.
They are. I like the way they play. They play like maniacs. Mm-hmm. They're fast. They crash into each other. They go diving into the end zone. I liked the game. I liked the way they played.
Reavers' alma mater's women's team, which they won the national championship.
Two.
Did you watch them by chance?
No.
Oh. Have you? It is the most.
I'm drawing the line here. I'm not going to start watching everything.
And the quality of play compared to the top of D1 is, I mean, there's probably 200 Division I teams that they could defeat, but there's 350 Division I teams. But the defense they played was the damnedest thing. They basically, every time somebody got the ball, they attacked them with two players, chased them all over. I've never seen anything like it. I
didn't catch all of the game, but I did see some of it.
I saw them twice. I hadn't seen them before.
Oh, it was.
And they don't care. They'll foul you. They'll do anything. They figure they can't call all the fouls, but they double team everybody. They're hacking the ball, and they do it 90 feet.
And their path, I think they only had one close postseason game. They had a lot of blowouts in their run to a championship.
The final was close there. And the Texas Women's College, which is still named Texas Women's College, even though it's been co-ed for 50 years. But I watched a little of them the first day, and they would look pretty good. But, God, they came out and they started coming out of that defense, and it was about 20-2 before it started. And
is the St. Thomas women's team D1?
Yeah, they had a decent year.
Yeah.
They're D1. Their whole program's D1. Once, just like with the Gopher men, the Gopher women haven't allowed Ben. I'm sure it's not the new coach not wanting to play him. It's probably.
Were we anticipating the Gopher women making the run to the NIT?
Well, let me tell you something.
Here we go.
There were 68 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Then the NCAA this year, in the name of gender equity, because they sponsor the NIT for the men, which is a 32-team tournament, they established the WBIT for the next 32 teams. So Joe and I can both do the math. 100 teams. Okay. The NCAA took 100 teams. The WNIT is owned by a place called Triple Crown in Fort Collins, Colorado, and that's why they didn't name it the WNIT. Because they didn't want to give these people money for the name.
Okay.
So we were among the 48 that agreed to play in the WNIT.
I see.
So we were fighting to be number 101 in the nation, but we ended up 102. So.
102. Okay. Yes.
Defeated by the Billikens.
And it was, you know how the home court is decided in the WNIT? By bid. Not by seeding. Whoever is going to guarantee the Triple Crown Sports from Colorado the most money. But they really, it must not have been much of a bidding contest. The Gophers couldn't play here because they had the state high school robotics championship.
They didn't have space.
It was at Mariucci and Williams Arena.
Wow.
And they couldn't move it. Well, this school, St. Louis, something was in their arena. They played it at Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, 30 miles out of town.
Wow.
So, but we got whipped out. I love the Billikens as a nickname, though, don't you? I don't even know what it means.
It's a bird, isn't it?
No, it's a monster.
A monster.
Oh, isn't it? It's a great nickname.
An unknown creature that was out in Missouri.
You have family.
I now have people that attend there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a Catholic institution, is it not? I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that they would wind up in the Big East with those other Catholic institutions, but they're sticking it out in the
apparently don't have much of a men's program.
Majerus, well, they did when Majerus was there.
Majerus was there, yeah. And they won some games, but they have declined substantially. And I think they had a good year when Majerus first left, and then they didn't. Left. I think he died on the job.
Yeah, he was still coaching. There, right?
Does he have to pause?
No, but I have been waiting.
Oh.
I have been waiting all weekend to play this for you, too. I'm pretty sure Patrick has already heard this clip. But I know who now listens to Monday Night Sports Talk regularly, because this young man has the same theory as the mayor of Garage Logic. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ozzie Guillen.
Oh, yes.
On injuries.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the same way. You mean like
Running the bases.
Everything is about legs. I don't know. Yeah. Like I always say, John Kroc say, fat, never pull.
You can't pull fat.
Nope.
You can't pull fat.
All those eat right.
Yeah.
Be careful what you eat. No, it's cheeseburger. Here's the man. I remember those guys go here drinking 2, 6, 7, 12 Budweiser. Give me 3 hamburgers and go get it, boys.
Didn't go on the injured list.
And they play all year long.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's very confusing.
Well, he's right.
He's right.
Yes, he's right. Yes.
You haven't lived until you. Here, and I have access to it, and remember to listen to it once in a while. The White Sox post game show, when the White Sox lose 100 games for the third time in franchise history, he just vilified the organization, the players, day after day. He would never get a job at BSN.
No, okay? God, no. In fact, there's a guy, Patrick, and I think we used to have him on. He covers the White Sox, or he's a Chicago sports writer. But he said today's White Sox embarrassment, because I think they play the Tigers over the weekend? Or no, they were playing the Royals this weekend. Yeah. The game was blacked out inside the stadium. You know, they have the broadcast rights where you're out of the viewing area and it says, yep, the game is blacked out at the stadium. Jeez. They couldn't even show it on TV.
They couldn't say replay. Oh, man.
They are going to be hilarious to watch this summer, old Whiteys.
I can't, you know, and he went to coach the Marlins, and then he paid tribute to Castro, you know.
Right.
So they had to fire him because all the Cubans were
right.
Those 300,000-400,000 Cubans who used to live with Fidel when he first took over. They're not big. He's not real popular with them.
That quote should be in every clubhouse. Fat don't pull.
Fat don't pull.
Fat don't pull.
Well, their greatest team, one of their great teams was the 83 Fat Sox, I call them.
The Fat Sox.
Remember they had 8, 9 huge guys. They were.
Was that Tony? Was LaRusso the manager?
Yeah, yep. No, yeah. That was when Lozinski came looking for me because I called him the fat. I said, this could be the Fat Sox scandal. They could end up throwing the World Series for a bag of Cheetos, you know. and pretty funny, you know.
I thought that's
guy,
pretty good.
Fat guy making fun of fat guys. And he came looking for me in the dugout. Luckily, I was upstairs because I don't think that would have been a fair fight.
I would have just said, if I were you, I've never heard of him. I don't know where he is.
Because
he didn't know who you were.
No, I don't know. He didn't know where I was. No. That's when they had drawings instead of...
Have you ever done a power rankings of athletes coming after you? I'd read that.
I haven't had many. Ron Jackson.
Papa up.
Ron Jackson and Greg Luzinski didn't. That was down in the dugout, and I was upstairs.
Oh, okay.
So. I've only had 2 Vikings, Ron Yeary and Jim Marshall.
Okay.
Wow, that's pretty good. What, Marshall, what'd you do to make him
threw a football at me, and
he was doing that to be...
But if it would have hit me, I would have died.
But he wasn't mad at you.
He didn't like the presence of anyone there from the press. So he threw a football. I could hear it. It was like a bullet went by. No.
He could chuck the pigskin, huh?
And Yeary threw a shoe at me. Big deal.
But was Yeary mad at something or just...
Locker
room clown.
Yeah.
But I thought Bud won.
Yeary was mad at me because I was hard on Tarkenton.
No, he didn't like Tarkenton.
Well, then...
Maybe you were too kind to Tarkenton.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He and Tarkenton couldn't stand each other.
Yeah.
So, supposedly. I mean, I didn't cover him that much, so... I don't know.
It's a shame the highest payroll in the history of the world has to be here tonight with 3 days of
ridiculous.
Terrible weather. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's second time they've been here since the new system started where you play everybody.
Yeah.
And both times in April.
Yeah.
And you know, what we're learning? I said this a month ago. Remember, last year they couldn't draw 2 million people with the greatest weather in the history of outdoor baseball in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
The drought is a wonderful thing for baseball. Not good for corn.
Nope.
Wonderful thing for baseball. They have already tied last year's season total for rainouts. And last year it was just because the weather wasn't going to be good on Thursday to open the season, so they moved it back to Friday. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any rainouts.
Although, didn't you say that a good rainout might save them against the Clevelands?
Oh, God, were they terrible.
Pat, I'm telling you this right now. What I watched on Saturday afternoon, if that's their effort, and that's what their approach is going to be at the plate, they're not going to finish above
those
500.
Those boys can't hit.
That was embarrassing. Wow.
Eddie Julian, God love him. I got to send him back to St. Paul and tell him, you go over there, and if you go a week without taking a third strike, we'll call you back.
Yep.
But if you have to learn that if a pitch is 2 inches off the plate with two strikes, you got to swing it.
Yep.
And if the umpire is wrong, you know what? He complains enough that they're now going to ring him up.
You haven't earned it, yeah.
They're now going to ring him up. So it's ridiculous. But two games, world-class statistic. I mean, everybody's seen it. 29 strikeouts and 0 for 23 with runners in scoring position.
And I swear to God, if Byron Buxton has a runner at third with one out, and he tries to hit a home run again, mm-hmm. I am going to lose my mind.
Send him to St. Paul.
I don't think he can, though.
Yeah.
Can you? Unless he's hurt, which might happen.
Well, hang on.
Right.
Well, we assumed that his struggles at the plate last year, striking out all the time, had something to do with being a DH. It's just the way he swings now. He's trying
to hit a home run every time.
Home run. Yep. So,
and they what's wrong with a double?
Nothing wrong with it.
I like a double.
How about a sacrifice fly?
What's wrong with a single with a runner on third?
Nothing.
What's
nothing.
Wrong with just putting the ball in play with the runner on third?
And I've been done with Max Kepler for about 2.5 years. They should have traded him last offseason.
I don't think they could get anything.
You don't think so?
The manager, he's a free agent. Going to be a free agent.
Yep.
The manager was really down on him halfway through the year. He was ready to get rid of him, I think. I heard this secondhand. And then he had a pretty good last 2 months. But I got to think they spent the spring saying, okay, Polanco and Kepler, we're going to trade one of them, whoever. But they couldn't get anybody to take Kepler off their hands.
Sure.
I'm a little worried about the fellow from Forest Lake, too, Wallner.
Yeah.
Because he struck out a lot in the minors, and we might have seen the best 2 months he has to offer last year. Who knows?
When will Lewis be back?
2 months.
Almighty.
That's not good. Because we can't keep doing Castro at third base every game.
No, what is it? Why did they call up this Austin Martin and then not play him?
Yeah, or have Farmer play third base.
Well, they called up today? Jose Miranda.
Oh, boy.
They put one of the relief pitchers on the disabled list, Duarte. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. It's one of those make a spot on the roster things.
Gotcha.
So, okay. Apparently they feel that they can get by with 12 pitchers for.
Are you going to the yard tonight?
Tomorrow night. Going tonight. Not. I have to get benediction, however, from my granddaughter to not go to her confirmation Tuesday night in order to go to the ball game. But I think if I up the gratuity from $20 to $50,
she'll be okay with it.
Okay with it. Confirmation isn't the big deal it used to be, They're having it on a Tuesday night with no post-game celebration.
Would we have had? We had one at after Mass yesterday. Would that they do those on Sundays?
I don't know.
We had a huge family all dressed up and ready to go.
Okay, but they
maybe
just,
you had a baptism.
Was it? Maybe it that's what it was. Baptism. Maybe that's what it was.
Confirmation is
they're different.
Well,
confirmation is a cluster.
But it's that age. It's 15-ish.
13, 14, 15.
Did you get the sprinkle?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. A lot of incense yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you would have had incense.
Or, you know what I mean? What's that stuff we call it?
Incense.
Yeah, we had that stuff yesterday.
Well, I like incense.
Yeah,
I do, too.
I don't mind it.
But I like a nice incense.
The downside is you get your most incense at funerals.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's the downside.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're there for a funeral.
Right.
Instead of a celebration.
Right.
But, I don't know. She'll be fine with it. I don't know. She picked some goofy old Rose. She picked Rose. Rose is her confirmation name. Used to be different.
What was yours?
Stephen. That was my brother's middle name. Was my brother's middle name.
Mine was John DeBosco.
I think. What? Oh,
he was a a juggler.
They just put John on the.
Oh, I think they went with the DeBosco.
DeBosco part,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was a juggler. I think my guy got eaten by a lion.
I think so.
I think Stephen went down to a lion, you know. You know what? Looking back at my Catholic education, you really had a much better chance at sainthood if you were martyred. You know,
eaten
by a lion or, you know, torn apart on a, you know, had all your limbs separated with horses going in different directions.
Right.
And stuff.
The worse the death was, higher the chances.
Yes, yes. The Joan of Arc, did they chop her head off? I don't know what they did, how they got rid of her, but. She was
burned at the stake.
Oh, that's right. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That'll get you in.
But, you know, did she really do enough to be a saint?
You get burned at the stake.
She was about 18, wasn't she?
Yeah, you know.
She was just a kid.
But that's kind of
in her. We don't even know what she was going to turn
out. So you're saying, let's go over the list. Well, you were burned at the stake, but you really didn't do much before that.
You weren't old enough to really establish yourself, whether you're a good person or a bad person. But then again, you did get burned at the stake.
She had a good reputation.
Yeah, she did. I don't think she was. You know, I don't think she was hanging out with.
No, she wasn't a ne'er-do-well.
What was the name of the gal that got helped Mary Magdalene. She didn't have that kind of.
Well, there was nothing wrong with Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, wasn't she the hooker who turned out to be a saint? They had the one who turned out to be a saint.
I'm not sure she was a hooker.
Well, the equivalent back then.
I think right now we might need a pause before we all go to hell.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway.
But first we need to hear about our friends at the Valley Group, Patrick. Do you have your copy points?
Right, there's my copy points.
Well, that's a Garage Logic promotion.
Oh, okay, I told you to keep it for me.
I thought I let it sit there, but Rookie might have been tinkering around with it.
That's okay. I know what's going on out there with my boys at the Valley Group of GM dealers in Apple Valley and Hastings. What's going on is this. They are loaded with product. During COVID, after COVID, for quite a while, we were looking for chips. We were looking for everything. They did not have the usual stock of great vehicles. It's all back right now. You can get everything, including an electric Hummer.
How about that?
An electric Hummer. Yes. I can see you in one of those.
No, you can't.
Yukon. They got the Yukons back. You might have to build a new garage if you get a Yukon. I mean, them boys are big.
They are.
You got the heavy-duty trucks. All those products that were hard to get, and other dealers were trying to charge you a premium to get them, whether or not, not the manufacturer's suggested price. Well, Jim Paul never goosed up the prices on that. He gave everybody the same deal he was, you know, the manufacturer's price on those vehicles. And now he's got all those vehicles back in stock, and he got the low interest rates. He got the factory rebates, all the good stuff. 0.9%, 1.9% if you qualify. Jim Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers, and Brett Paul, the junior, the kid. I saw him he's a hockey coach. He's a youth hockey coach, for goodness sakes. Apple Valley and Hastings. Check them out. They got full inventory these days.
Rolling.
What?
I have a clip for you two.
All right.
Hang on. We got it right here. On this day.
This is April 8th.
Of 1974, 50 years ago today.
The outfield deep in the straightaway. Fastball is a high drive in the deep left center.
Is that Aaron?
Henry Aaron.
Yeah. Ooh, what relief pitcher caught the ball? In the bullpen.
For the country Tom, and the
House.
World.
Tom House. And what was the sign behind him on the outfield wall?
Can't remember.
Think of it as money.
Really?
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
How do you, I'm watching, how do you remember that?
It was a pretty major event, wasn't
I suppose,
it?
Yes, yeah, it I suppose.
It was,
yeah.
And it was a big controversy because where were they to start the season? Cincinnati?
Yes.
And they planned not to play him.
Oh, is that
I
right?
I think it was tied going into the year, or did he hit a home run the first day and tie it? And then the Braves weren't going to play him.
I can
and
look
the
it up.
Commissioner made him play one of the last two games they played in Cincinnati.
And it resulted in one of the great quotes in baseball history. I didn't know my mother could hug so tight.
Oh, really?
Look, you could have wrote a whole column based on that quote.
That is.
Were they sending guys from here to go cover this?
I was PO'd that I wasn't covering. That's what I remember.
Okay.
I was in a press box when he hit it someplace. So April 8th, I remember watching it on TV. So what was the Twins home? I don't know. Were the Twins home?
All right, so I've got it here. They opened the season at Cincinnati on the 4th, and they played again on the 6th and the 7th.
Okay, did he hit a home run on the 4th to tie the record, perchance?
I can look that up, but April 8th was the lid lifter for a four-game set with the Dodgers.
Yeah, they wanted to pack him in Atlanta, obviously, mm-hmm. And that was Bowie, I think. Bowie was...
50 years ago today.
Wow.
Jeez, yep. Where'd those times
50
go?
Years ain't what it used to be.
50 years ain't what it used to be, Pat.
No, it ain't what it used to be. Do you know that... I'd forgotten how late it was. The Twins' first ever game here, I was looking it up, first home opener, I went with my dad. April 21st.
I know a guy wrote a book about all that.
And they opened in New York on April 11th.
Yep.
That made more sense.
But were they playing 162 then?
Yes, that they started in 1961 when they started playing 162, which was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's ludicrous.
What did it used to be? 156?
154. They added 8. I don't know why. Because they didn't want to lose home dates with the Dodgers or something. I don't know. It's asinine that the Dodgers are here. They're going to draw... If they were playing here in July, they'd draw 38,000 a night. They won't draw 38,000 in 3 days.
Most of the outdoor openers at Met Stadium were after... April 15th.
And as the guy who wrote the book about Met Stadium, what was the other amazing fact about baseball in April at Bloomington? They never played
a night game. Yeah, no night games.
Now, once in a while, if you were home on the last weekend of April, they would play a Friday night game. But in September... I think maybe a week after Labor Day, then they all played day games then, too, because there was no regional TV to worry about, and the crowds were... In September baseball, you could be fighting for the pennant, and nobody would show up for the weekday games because they all were going to work, you know?
Yeah.
So, and TV was not a... You didn't have local TV.
And if there were people there, Lee Ely would have said, don't these people work?
I'll tell you a story about a great coincidence that I find interesting. Even if, the date in 1976, September 25th or 26th, I'm scoring the game.
Yeah.
I think we used to get like 40 or 50 bucks, which was wow. And there was like four of us that did it and split it up. And I'm the scorer, and then the first inning, the California Angels are here, and they got a guy named Dave Collins, center fielder, leadoff hitter, ran like a rabbit. I think he was from Rapid City, South Dakota. And he hit a chopper down the first baseline. Carew catches it, flips it to Goltz. Goltz drops it, but I think that Collins had it beat anyway, so I call it a hit. Mm-hmm. First batter of the game. And... with two outs in the ninth, that's the only hit. And they've called me two or three times from the dugout saying, Carew says it's a hit. But there's no replay. You can't, right. You know, you can't look at anything. And I'm saying, that's it. And then the fans are, there's no fans there. There's 2,000 people there, but the fans are coming up. Yeah, we're going to change that. They're screaming. And then down behind the dugout, they're waving, hey, you change it. And Mario Guerrero gets a single with two outs in the ninth, mm-hmm. and I get up and cheer mightily. Yeah. Well, Sarah Johnson, who's a member of Sabre, which is basically a baseball research group, writes a story on this for the Sabre website about scoring and about this, and specifically this situation. She talked to me about it, and I said, you know, I explained it. Really, how do you change it? Because you can't see it. And but now she's one of the three scorers for the Twins.
Really?
She's scoring the game on Saturday, right? Saturday.
Okay.
And she's
is this Kirilov, the Kirilov?
Kirilov, yeah. Hits kind of a semi-rocket down first base. It's, and the first baseman was Josh Naylor, and he kind of flinches, and the ball goes through him. And he gets to third base, and everybody assumes it's a triple, and she calls it an air three.
Really?
And so it kind of stays that way, and then she watches it, and I'm sure she's having people advice. So, like, the third inning, it's an out, so they change it to a hit.
Oh.
Triple. Two outs in the ninth, it's the only hit.
It's until the only, Correa the got that, the single.
The one that was changed.
Really?
So I say that's a coinkydink.
It yeah? really is.
And then Correa hits a little single up the middle. And
in fact, so I was rooting mightily that that the Twins got one hit, then that was the
I said they are Mario Guerrero and Carlos Correa are in the official scorers Hall of Heroes, you know, Hall of Heroes, because they saved us both from having to explain it. So, anyway.
I have the box scores from 1974. Henry did hit a home run. He was 1-for-3 on opening day.
And that tied him.
In Cincinnati,
which tied it.
And then the Braves announced he wasn't going to play.
And then on the 6th, he did not play. He did come back and play on the 7th.
They made him play.
And he went 0-for-3. But guess who did hit a home run in that game for the Braves? Darrell Evans playing third base.
Who else is in the lineup? Is Joe Adcock in the lineup still? Probably not.
Let me see. We've got, okay, I got your lineup here. Ralph Garr.
Yep.
Mike Lum. Darrell Evans.
Oh, boy, they were flattened out. All the phenoms, or the guys that won the World Series with him in Milwaukee were long gone.
Who Henry else? Aaron was cleanup. Batting fifth was Dusty Baker in center field.
Yeah, Dusty Baker.
Be damned.
Davey Johnson was your second baseman. Future manager Johnny Oates was your catcher. And Craig Robinson was your shortstop.
They weren't very good. Were they?
On the mound was Phil Niekro for the Braves.
And Al Downing gave up the home run, right? Al Downing.
I believe so.
Which park was that at home in Atlanta? Was that Alameda?
Fulton County.
Fulton County?
Fulton County Stadium. I played football in there.
Is that where we saw the
World Series?
World Series? Was that Fulton County?
That was the second one, right?
No, it was Fulton County.
Fulton County?
Yeah, it was Fulton County.
The original?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Wasn't Turner, because they've had three.
Because Turner didn't open until they had the Olympics.
Oh, okay. That's right.
When the Hawks said to me, see that field out there? Mm. Those players would really be screwed without that field.
Yeah. There's a great Ralph Garr, Dusty Baker story that my friend, the late, great Jerry Fraley, who was going into the Hall of Fame this year as a sports writer, baseball writer, told me that Dusty and Ralph were walking from chapel. They had the Sunday chapel, you know, they had chapel. And Ralph and Dusty came down the corridor, and they were going through the dugout and going out to BP. And they were arguing about some item of Christianity. And Ralph says, you know that really bad profanity that includes your mother? Ralph says, Dusty, it's right there in the blankety blank Bible. I love that story.
Well,
does that take away all the points that you that you have?
If you got burned at the stake, you are then not going in with all that.
And erase them going to chapel.
That's right.
Yes, right. You lost your points for going to chapel.
Yes, sir.
I think we did a fine job here today.
Yes, sir.
And we didn't get back to the product discussion that we had. I just want to say the product has not yet been produced.
And I'm not holding it.
No.
I can confirm he did take the weekend to think about it.
Yes,
I did think about it.
Yes. I'm sure.
Didn't take me long.
During all the timeouts.
Basketball.
Caitlin Clark, he said, let's see here. Look like the thinker.
Is he doing the pros and the cons? He's weighing.
Can I tell you how that came about?
No.
I'm not going to get into the gory details.
Yeah.
But when you're going to sleep at night, you kind of think about the projects that the stuff that's going on.
The
to-do list. And I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to do that?
I need an extra set of hands.
And I said, oh, wait, we can get Joe involved, and that'll be worth it. We can get Joe involved, and that'll be, so how are we going to get Joe involved? So I must have been up for another 10 minutes trying to figure out how to get Joe involved.
Well, you told it well Friday. You reeled him off. Well, Reaver's got the little kids, and Rookie's busy at the airport.
I've already bothered Johnny with all my streaming.
Kenny and John are not even coming down here. Joe, what do you think? Answer is no.
Anyway, that's how it came about. It wasn't spontaneous. It was well thought of.
Yes, sir.
All right.
See ya. Yep.